Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry, with overpriced, underperforming products, and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great, too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
The 372nd edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Bird Dog Shorts. Dominate summer with an amazing pair of shorts and a free Yeti-style tumbler when you order over at birddogs.com/pool. That's birddogs.com/pool.
Hi-yo, Degenerinos, and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast, the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 372. Who should I send it out to? Does anybody do anything cool? Not my co-host, because he didn't help me with any kind of dedication here. Who should I send it out to? I'll send it out to my sons, who are on summer vacation now and survived another year of school and excelled. So this goes out to the children. Thank you for coming to the show. I'm one of the hosts, Jeff Chalks Fox. This is here our main card preview of UFC and the ESPN Strickland versus Magomedov, the main event we never knew we wanted or needed, but we're getting anyhow. We'll break down the six fights on the card, and then we will give you our locks, dogs, parlays, and hopefully the parlay will be a two-fight parlay that will hit and make us big money. We'll also give you some fancy prop picks as well. Help with all this will be provided by the one and only Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello.
I like how you introduced me as if I was like a PBS pledge drive. Help for all this will be provided by.
True. The support for this podcast is brought to you by Gumby Vreeland.
There you go. I like it. Let's do that every time.
All right. Let's do it. Thoughts on the main card? That we kind of ripped through the prelims fairly quickly. It wasn't a lot of numbers that we enjoyed. There was like a plus 1100 pick that minus 1100 pick that we had to back, and wasn't a whole lot of value there. Thoughts on the main card?
I think there's a lot more value on this main card. I think there's a couple of sleepy good spots to bet, and also I think I've always said this when we're talking about whether or not a fight card is good or bad or interesting, it at least should answer questions, right? Like I think this one answers a lot of questions, like, Grant Dawson and Demetrius Magulov, like which one of these two guys is ready for that next tier of fighters that they're going to fight, right? Like who's ready to fight a top 10 guy? Is Michael Morales for real? He's going to fight a grizzly veteran for the first time in Max Griffin. Like, what was the change we saw in Ariane Lipsky for her last fight for real? Or, is she about to be exposed? Is not really knowing how to grapple? Like, there's so many interesting questions, especially towards the top of the card.
There you go. He put a good spin on things for us. So we will get you into this here card in one moment. First, I got to tell you about something else we should get you into. That would be Bird Dog shorts. Bird Dogs make you look good. Bird Dog stretch khaki shorts are designed to fit slimmer through the thigh and leg, giving you a truly sculpted look. Bird Dog shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but fit way better. They fit way better than the regular shorts that are made of stiff, restricting cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue by inventing cloud knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but stretches so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink sweat wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. Go to birddogs.com/pool if you don't have shorts, or if you want to get these shorts, or if you want more of these shorts, and enter promo code POOL, P-O-O-L, for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/pool for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your bird dogs off. We promise you. All right. You won't want to miss our picks here. We promise you as well. UFC on ESPN, Strickland versus Magomedov, going down this Friday, excuse me, Saturday, Canada Day, July the 1st. UFC Apex. Prelims, now my dogs are barking, Dan, just like yours were yesterday.
Mine yeah, are I was going to say, you took over the dog gig today. Yeah,
there you go. No storm, but they're barking.
They must have known you didn't honor them with an episode like my dog got yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, my dogs have to get one soon enough. All right, we did prelims yesterday. If you want to hear faintly, you may hear some dogs barking. Probably not. That's yesterday's episode. It's prelims are 4 p.m. ESPN, and the main card 7 p.m. ESPN and ESPN Plus. We're starting with middleweights. Nursultan Ruzaboyev.
Ruzaboyev, yeah.
Ruzaboyev versus Bruno Ferreira. Bruno with two N's. We'll tell you about Orfeja. Excuse me. Ruzaboyev, Black is the nickname. Why is his nickname Black?
No idea.
Okay, well, you're going to get on that for us. How's this for a record for a debuting fighter? 34-8-2, 12 knockouts, 20 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. Short notice debut. Everyone's alarms are going off after hearing that. He's won 8 straight, all via finish. He's not fought since April 2022. He's not lost since December of 2019. He's got multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at welterweight. 6 inches of height over Fajea. Do not have reach info for him. You would assume all things being equal, it's probably about the same. A year younger than Fajea. He's at plus 170. The Hulk, Bruno Fajea. 10-0, 7 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents as well. Not as well, but... Ruzaboyev is a finisher as well. Fajea, 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series, regional champion, minus 182. Give me Fajea. I think he's surprised us by how decent he has looked over the past couple of fights. And I know nothing about the Ruzaboyev except he's a journeyman making a short notice debut here. So give me Fajea, please.
Yeah, so Ruzaboyev, first of all, he hasn't even been a pro that long to have that many fights. He only turned pro 9 years ago. And he has 40 something fights.
44.
Yeah, which is crazy. And actually, it's 46 if you count as no contest.
Oh, right. I missed that.
Yeah. So he once fought 14 times in 1 year. His first fight came in May. So he didn't, which is an insane stat, right? And so what I can tell you about him is he now trains at Daniel Gracie and Henzo Gracie Philly. So like he's got good coaches with John Marquez and Daniel Gracie down there. He's really, like you said, he's kind of a taller middleweight, at 6'4", but I will tell you in all of the film that I've seen of him, he does not typify what you would expect from a Henzo Gracie Philly guy. He actually disappoints me quite a bit with his wrestling defense. Like I watched a couple of his fights, particularly the one with, if you guys watch, Aries, Ibrahim Mane is a guy who's won a few fights in a row in Aries. And he was really taking it to Ruzaboyev. He took him down. He had great positioning. He wound up going for a triangle choke. And then Ruzaboyev slammed him out. So he wound up losing that fight, but like had control, was clearly the better of the two fighters. And then, you look at a lot of his other fights and he's fighting cans mostly, or, for like sketchy promotions or, like a lot of things like that. So I would tell you in what I've seen from him, underwhelming wrestling ability. Like he's not that good at getting back up. I think his hands are kind of way too low when he's striking. He kind of keeps them down a lot closer to his shoulder than his chin. He loves throwing the big overhand rights, even if they're not landing all the time. And when you look at what he's fighting against in Fajeda, I mean, he just won a fight with a gnarly counter on Hobokop, right? Just like an absolutely bomb of a counter that slept him with one punch. So if we're talking about a guy who has low hands, not great defense, and, like throws overhand rights that sometimes are not close, that's like begging to be countered with like a sharp left here. So I'm going to say Fajeda as well. I think he's going to hit him with that quick counter, put him to sleep. And what did you say? Negative 182?
Yep.
That's a great price for him there too. Because yep. I think Rudziboyev has got that Russian sounding name, and everybody's assuming he's going to come in here and wrestle. And hey, maybe even the bookmakers took into account that he's training at Enzo Philly. I just don't think any of those things matter. I think Fajardo is going to sleep him.
All right, we're going to get a knockout prop too, maybe. All right, let's cut some weight and go down to lightweight. Ismael Bonfim versus Benoit Saint-Denis, closest thing to a Canadian we're getting on this card, a Frenchman. Saint-Denis is the god of war, 10-1 with one no contest. He's knocked out two people, submitted eight people, so he's finished all of his wins. He himself has never been finished in a fight, and if you saw his UFC debut, you can see why. He's 2-1 in the UFC. He lost the debut, but he's won two straight fights, both via finish, of course, because that's what he does. He's fought at welterweight and middleweight, was a regional champion, 3 inches taller than Bonfim, 2 inches of reach. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 2.35 strikes a minute. He has better grappling stats than Bonfim. He's at plus 260. Moretta is Bonfim, which means...
hammer.
Yes. He's 19-3. 9 knockouts. 4 submissions. He's been submitted himself 3 times, so he's been finishing all of his losses. 1-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in Contender Series, 13 straight wins. He won his last fight via knockout. He's not lost since July of 2014. He's a regional champion, or was. He used to fight at 135, 145, and 170. 2011 pro MMA debut, striking and active striking stats better than Saint-Denis. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 2.69 strikes a minute. He's at minus 300. We know him as the lesser of the Bonfim brothers. We'll let Gumby pick.
Yeah, I think he's the lesser of them, but I'm going to go Saint-Denis here.
I want to pick him too, but sell me.
I think the dog money here is really smart on him. First of all, I don't know why he's that big of an underdog. You know, Ishmael does have that big knockout, and obviously there's the hype on both of the brothers coming off the Contender Series, but I think the hype is on like the family more than it is anything else. Cause look, Benoit Saint-Denis undefeated as a lightweight. Nobody's ever beaten him, and he's beaten good people too, right? Like he beat Luan Santiago in Brave, which is a big win. He beat Gabriel Miranda in his last fight and absolutely torched him. This is a guy who's got phenomenal wrestling. I think people forget too. You remember that fight he had with Elizu Zaleski Dos Santos, which by the way, are the only reasons his stats look bad, right? Yep. He took a beating, but Zaleski Dos Santos could not get him out of that fight. Despite the fact that he took it on like 4 days notice up a weight class against a very talented striker. And if you're telling me that that Dos Santos couldn't get him out of there, I don't know that Bonfim can. And I think the way that Bonfim is overly aggressive, who sometimes moves forward at an incredible rate, and the fact that he's going to have to be defending takedowns, I think Bonfim is going to tire. I don't think he's going to be able to keep up the pace that Saint-Denis puts on him. And, you know, kind of to go along with that, like, I don't know that his grappling is good enough off of his back, which is where I think he's going to spend a lot of this fight. Also, I mentioned the Saint-Denis fight, or the, not the Saint-Denis fight, the Dos Santos fight. I think people forget that, like, he had a little bit of success in that fight. Now, granted, not a lot of success, because that fight probably should have been stopped as crazy as it was. But, like, early on in that fight, he scored takedowns on Elizu Zaleski Dos Santos. He got one in the first and one in the second, and scored like a minute's worth of control time, or 2 minutes worth of control time, 1 minute for each of them. So like, I think that Saint-Denis has a real path to victory on just like grounding Bonfim, holding him there, tiring him out, making him work. And like the fact that I think he's got a rock solid chin too, I think that just makes it easier to pick him.
I'm with you. Let's go for a big dog, Dan. Benoit Saint-Denis. Yeah. Hopefully he can just outgrit Bonfim. Impossible guy to put away. And hopefully he usually does lean on his grappling to get the job done. So let's do it. We're giving you a big dog here, just like Muggsy. All right. We did that fight. We're going to move to women's flyweight. Arianna Lipsky versus Melissa Gatto. Lipsky, the queen of violence, 15-8, 6 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been knocked out 4 times, 4-5 in the UFC, gone win-loss-win over her last 3, and she's won 2 of her last 5. She's fight up and down weight class, so up at bantamweight, down at strawweight, was the KSW champion before this, 2013 pro MMA debut, inch taller than Gatto, more active landing strikes than Gatto. She's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.11 strikes per minute, plus 200s number on her. Gatto 8-1-2, two knockouts, four submissions, never been finished in a fight. 2-1 in the UFC, lost her last fight. That was back in May of 2022. Her wins in the UFC have been via TKO. Used to fight up at bantamweight as well. 2 inches of reach then over Lipsky, and she's 2 years younger. Better striking stats. She's outstruck her UFC opponents by 0.67 strikes a minute, minus 210. I'm going with another dog, Dan. Back-to-back plus 200 or more dogs, which is rare for me. Lipsky just looked really good her last fight. Looked like what we hoped she was going to look like in the UFC. Concerned about Gatto's time off, plus the fact that she lost her last fight, has not beaten anyone really of significance in the UFC. She beat Sajera Eubanks and Victoria Leonardo. Obviously, the grappling is a bit of a concern, even though she only lands about less than two takedowns per fight. Lipsky has not been taken down in three straight fights as well. So she's not the easiest person to take down. So I'm going with Lipsky, hopefully on a bit of a roll here, and Gatto, hopefully a little bit rusty. I like both women, so it was a tough one to pick.
I'm going Gatto. I think you're right to be concerned about the grappling. You know, you mentioned she only, you know, scores about two takedowns a fight. That's because she's finishing fights. She doesn't even get the whole fight to do that. And then secondly, she took Tracy Cortez down three times and was clearly the better grappler in that fight to me. Not that Tracy Cortez didn't get a couple of her own, didn't get some top control time. But like, I just thought Melissa Gatto was a better, maybe not better grappler. Let me take that back. I think she's a better wrestler than Tracy Cortez. I think her ability to get the fight to the mat is better than Tracy Cortez. And yeah, Lipsky looked good in her last fight. I will definitely give you that. But it was like defending and getting the grappling going against JJ Aldrich, who I don't particularly think is a great grappler. And, you know, like you mentioned, the last two victories for Melissa Gatto have come by knockout, right? Like her only two wins in the UFC, she finished Sajara Eubanks with a body kick. She broke Victoria Leonardo's arm. If you want to go before that, she finished Carol Hosa, who we already talked about on last episode. She's a finisher. And when you look at Lipsky's last three losses in the UFC, she got finished by Montana De La Rosa, Antonina Shevchenko, and Priscilla Cachoeira. I think Gatto's better than all of them. And she's definitely a better grappler than at least two of them, probably all three of them.
That was so long ago, Dan. You're living in the past. But yeah, this is an interesting fight. I think it's more interesting that I took back-to-back plus 200 dogs. Weird things are going on, Dan.
That's a pretty weird one, yeah.
It is very strange. All right, something that's not weird is if I'm in an Underdogs, you're in an Underdogs, then it makes sense that we're brought to you by Underdog Fantasy, because Underdog Fantasy's got Best Ball Mania 4 right now, and Underdog Fantasy is giving away $15 million in prizes. Underdog Pick'em is also a great way to get down on your favorite MLB and NFL season player props. So many ways to win over an Underdog, and Underdog is available in so many states. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. So UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
Pro teams have millions to spend, and they don't always spend them wisely. But when it comes to a great shave, you don't have to shell out tons of cash. Harry's saw customers getting ripped off by the shaving industry with overpriced, underperforming products and decided to do something better. They found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of the other big brands, so you never wonder if you overpaid. Harry's shaving products look great, and the weighted handle makes shaving feel great too. I like to keep my beard neat, and Harry's always leaves me with a smooth yet crisp shave. Harry's quality is top-notch, thanks to German-engineered blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. And Harry's has the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry, plus a convenient subscription option that you can cancel at any time. Getting the best doesn't mean spending the most when you shave with Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/bluewire. That's harrys.com/bluewire for a $3 trial set.
Maybe it's I'm feeling the heat because you're catching up. You could pass me in the yearly standings after this week. Maybe that's what's going on, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, I just the first fight of the night could do that.
Exactly. It could. That's right. You pick different there. All right. Let's go to welterweights on the men's side. Max Griffin, Michael Morales. Griffin, Max Payne Griffin, 19-9, 9 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's been knocked out once. The only time he's been stopped in 28 fights. 7-7 in the UFC. He's gone 4-1 over his last 5, including winning his last fight. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at middleweight, 2009 pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.36 strikes per minute. He's at plus 215. Michael Morales, 14-0, 11 knockouts, 1 submission, 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. Last 2 wins have come via TKO/KO. He also has multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Used to fight at lightweight. An inch taller, 3 inches of reach on Griffin, 14 years younger. There's something to keep in mind. He's more active landing strikes as well. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 1.26 strikes a minute. Minus 245 is the number on Morales.
I don't really love this number on Michael Morales because he is a little bit more green, and this is his like first big step up. But I'm still going to pick him here, mostly just because, first of all, I think he's going to be way faster. I think he's going to be way sharper. And also, I think the big thing for me in picking Michael Morales here is the reach advantage. Because Max Griffin has really had a lot of issues with people who have better reach than him. You saw it with Neil Magny. Magny just stuck a jab in his face nonstop. He really couldn't do much with it. You could say a similar thing with Tim Means, who, granted, he beat Tim Means, but like he struggled with Tim Means, who's a little bit rangier of a guy. Now you're going to get a guy who's fast, young, and rangy. Man, I think that's going to be too much for Max Griffin. I will say, like, it wouldn't shock me if Max Griffin kind of surprised the young gun here and you know, made him work harder than he's used to working. But at the end of the day, I still think Morales gets it done.
Yeah, usually guys 14 years younger than their opponent are faster. So, yeah, definitely
could be a younger, lot faster. He should be a lot faster here.
Exactly. Younger, faster, longer, extremely dangerous striker. So, yeah, he's definitely the pick here. But Griffin is next to impossible to being stopped. So like you said, he may drag him into deep water here, but I think Morales is going to come through. All right. Lightweight co-main event, Demir Ismagulov versus Grant Dawson, a guest on Top Turtle podcast 2 weeks ago, right? Last week, I guess it would have been.
Yeah. Last week.
Correct. All right. Dawson, KGD is the nickname. Is that like a play on KGB or
what? I have no idea.
Killer Grant Dawson. That's what
King,
it's for.
King
that's
Grant Dawson.
King, killer, something like that. He's 19-1-1, 4 knockouts, 13 submissions. He's he's been knocked out once. Only time he's been stopped in 21 fights. 7-0-1 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight fights, both via submission. He's missed weight 3 times, including his last fight. Used to fight down at featherweight, 1-0 in the Contender Series. He's 3 years younger than Ismagulov. He's outstruck his UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.71 strikes a minute. Better grappling stats than Ismagulov. Even money on him right currently, plus 100. Ismagulov is 24-2, 12 knockouts, 1 submission, never been finished in a fight. 5-1 in the UFC. He's got 19-1 over his last 20 fights, but he did lose his last fight. He's the gentleman that lost to Armin Sarukian. I got mixed up. I got Ismagulov and Kutsalatse mixed up yesterday. Imagine that. He was the M1 champion and a regional champion. He has missed weight as well in the past. 2014 pro MMA debut. 2 inches of reach on Dawson. He's more active landing strikes. And he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.27 strikes a minute, minus 110. Give me the even money. Give me another underdog here. Grant Dawson. I'm high on Grant Dawson. Obviously, him missing weight is an issue. So keep an eye on that. But it hasn't really hindered him in fights because he's undefeated in the UFC. He just looked fantastic. Especially his grappling and submission game is obviously. Ismagulov is going to be a tough test for him. Perhaps the toughest test he's had in his career, but I think Dawson passes it. So give me the even money here.
Yeah, and I think Kutsalatse, by the way, beat Ismagulov. I think I said it on yesterday's show. When that fight went to split, I was like, oh, that's weird. I thought Kutsalatse won this easy, and he winds up losing the split, and Ismagulov winds up being the one who gets the Sarukian fight instead. And I would just say in both of those fights, the thing that worries me the most about Ismagulov is he just has trouble with dudes who are bigger, stronger, and will put him up against the cage. And who's bigger and stronger and will put you up against the cage better than Grant Dawson? So, you know, Grant Dawson is a guy who is slowly making a name for himself in this division. I think he's up to being ranked like, you know, like 13th or 14th now. You know, he's got a huge frame. Like there was reason he wasn't making weight at 45. That dude is huge and he just keeps seeming to get bigger. Clearly the work at American Top Team is paying off because he's looked better and better every fight since moving down there. You know, like he took it to Mark Madsen and out grappled him. That's a high level grappler that he beat up right there. I just say this, like, I don't think Grant Dawson gets beat here unless you can really threaten him on the feet. And I don't know that Ismagulov can do that. Like, I don't think he can threaten Grant Dawson enough on the feet to keep the wrestling away. So give me Grant Dawson here and just like an absolute grinder of a fight.
All right. No, his last name's Ov, ends in Ov, though. So obviously he can grapple, Dan.
Yeah, well, that, you know, you could say that about Rudzuboyev too, right?
Sure. How about Abu Magomedov, who we're going to talk about. Abus Magomedov, who we're going to talk about right now in the main event.
He can actually grapple a little. I'm going to tell you about that.
He's in a middleweight fight against Sean Strickland, who I just saw a compilation of Sean Strickland road rage videos. Have you ever seen that before?
No. Have you ever seen, speaking of good road rage ones, though, have you ever seen, have you seen the interview with Vince Pichel where he like pauses in the middle of the interview to just scream at somebody on the side of the road?
Yes, I believe so. Yes.
It's so good, man. That dude, that dude's got a lot of anger built up. And it's usually pretty funny when it comes out.
Yes. All right. Let's talk about Magomedov first. 25-4-1, 14 knockouts, 6 submissions. Knocked out once, submitted twice. One known in the UFC. He's won 3 straight fights, all via finish. He's not lost since December 2018. He went 3-1-1 in the PFL and made the to the 2018 finals. Was a regional champion, used to fight at welterweight, 2010 pro MMA debut. Inch of height, 2 inches of reach over Strickland. Striking stats, better than Strickland. His stats are based off of one fight, though. Strike stats are better. He's 4 times more active landing strikes. His strike differential in his UFC debut was plus 22.11 strikes per minute. He was not hit in the fight. So he's not been hit yet in the UFC. He's at plus 126. Strickland, Tarzan Strickland, 26-5, 10 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been knocked out twice, 13-5 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last 3, but he did win his last fight. He's fighting up and down weight class, so light heavyweight and welterweight. Was regional champion, 2008 pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his opponents by about a strike and a half a minute, 1.51 to be exact. He's got better grappling stats than Magomedov, minus 138. Gumby.
I'm going to go dog to end this. I'm going to take a boost Magomedov, which I don't think a lot of people are ready for. What did you say the dog number on him was?
126.
26. Not too bad. Look, I just think at the end of the day, when you're breaking down this fight and you're looking at how Strickland can win, right? Like Strickland is a guy who uses his length, right? Like he's a guy who pushes forward. He, you know, lives behind that jab. He doesn't throw anything big, right? Like that's probably why he lost the Cannonier fight, right? Is nothing he threw is devastating, hurt anybody or anything like that. And by fighting long and staying in people's face, he wears them down. And he builds up, you know, significant strike numbers. Abus pressures his in his own way. He's also, as you just mentioned, taller and longer than Sean Strickland. And I actually think he fights taller and longer too, because he almost like leans forward in a way that gives him like some extra reach. Plus, he uses all of those like jumping front kicks, which I know like you'll remember the one that knocked out Dustin Stoltzfus, but like, that's not the only one he throws. Like he threw a bunch when he was in PFL. He does it just to like create space and alleviate pressure. So I think that works really well against Sean Strickland. I also think you're just going to see him like, if he needs to go to his wrestling is like pretty surprisingly good, particularly in like body lock takedowns, or getting you against the cage and eventually working down to your hips. Because he did it against the Swedish Denzel Washington, Sada Busai. You know, like he beat the hell out of him, both in the stand-up, but then even when like the stand-up wasn't going quite as good as he wanted to, he got in on the hips, he took his back, he dominated him grappling-wise like that for a while, took a really easy decision. You know, like, so the fact that like that's a extra thing he has in his back pocket that I think Sean Strickland, I mean, I guess Sean Strickland has shown some decent wrestling from time to time, but I don't think he's good like that. And really the only people who have beaten Magomedov in like the last 8 years, but one guy, it was the PFL finals. He got knocked out, and it's not like Sean Strickland can knock out anybody anymore, right? Like Sean Strickland maybe had knockout power once upon a time, but he certainly doesn't have it anymore. He's fine just like pumping out 37 straight jabs and winning a decision. And I just don't know that that wins here against Magomedov. I think Magomedov a little bit too dangerous, a little bit too versatile. And I think the spacing is going to be a big thing here for him against Strickland. So yeah, I'm going to close this one out. Give me the dog.
If you cut him off in traffic, he's going to knock you out, though, I bet.
Hey,
he will. Give me Strickland. I trust him more than Magomedov at this point. But this is a show me moment. So if Magomedov shows me then that he can be the guy of Strickland's caliber, then I will be on board. So, all right, let's recap. I got Strickland. He's got Magomedov. We both have Dawson. We both have Morales. I have Lipsky. He has Gatto. We both have Saint Denis, and we both have Fahea. Now, locks, dogs, props, parlays, all that fun stuff. I have to go first, don't I? I guess I better get one here. I got to have a lock. Do I? Let me see. It's got to be. Try to give you guys a. I could pick Joe Anderson Bredu, right? -1205. Is that a good one?
You can. You definitely can. You're definitely gonna hit it.
All right. Give me Fakhradinov over Kevin Lee at -190. I think that's a more favorable number, and I think he's gonna win the fight easily. So
yeah, that's the one I had to. Fakhradinov. Fakhradinov. I think too many advantages here against Kevin Lee. I will say my close second here was Bruno Fajeda. I think Bruno Fajeda.
I thought about him too.
Yeah, that one's right there. I was kind of hoping you picked him so that we'd both have different ones, but no, I'm gonna stick with Fakhradinov too. That's my favorite play.
All right, underdogs. I actually have. I didn't pick any in the prelims, so it'll have to be one from the main card, which I do have some. I got Saint Denis. I've got Lipsky. I've got Dawson. That would be the coward play, wouldn't it? To pick the even money one.
Yeah, if it's your best one, it makes sense, but.
Yeah, it's probably my best one. Dawson +100.
I'm gonna go with the big swing. I actually loved Saint Denis this week.
All right.
He's a guy who I think at 260 you just can't pass on. So I'm gonna take a big swing in my dog and my prop this week, especially because I've hit 5 out of 6 dogs. And actually let's see, 6 out of 8. Look at that.
Look,
the only ones who burnt me were Eric Anders and Kron Gracie. Yeah,
really.
We're not going to talk about Kron.
No, we're not. Do you have Joanderson Brito odds? I'm looking at best fight.
They're not out yet because it's a late replacement fight. So they're going to be again. I think I said on yesterday's episode, if you can find him KO in the first round, that's the way to play it. But they're not out yet.
Yeah, makes sense. I know one that I like as well. Let's take it. Bruno Fajeda via knockout, which is at, it's only at -110. Are you kidding me?
I mean, it makes sense. If he's going to win, that's how he's going to win most likely.
Yeah, it's true. Do I want that though? Yeah. All right, fine. I said it. So now I'll take it. Fajeda via knockout -110.
All right. And I'm going to take a much bigger swing than you did, as I mentioned before. I mentioned I like Melissa Gatto. She's won her last 2 fights by knockout. All 3 of the last losses from Ariane Lipsky, all by being grounded pounded or TKO'd in some way, shape, or form. Gatto by knockout or TKO right now is posting at +510.
Wow.
Yeah, and I can't believe that like somebody who's won her last 2 victories by knockout and somebody who's lost her last 3 losses by knockout are going to enter a fight with the knockout queen here at +510. So, Gatto by knockout seems like an easy enough pick for me.
Fantastic. That's a big one. All right. We both have Fakhradinov as our locks. He has Saint Denis. I have Dawson as our dogs, but we're both in on both those ones as well. He's got Gatto TKO as his prop pick, and I got Fahea TKO/KO as my prop pick. And now, Hungry Man Jung, super fan parlay. Two fights. Hopefully they will hit and we'll make us big money. What do we got?
I went a little safer this week because I went big last week, didn't pay off. So I'm going to take, I think I mentioned Ivana Petrovic. I really like her to finish this fight. I think as soon as she wants to take this to the ground and hit a rear naked choke, she's going to. Her inside the distance, I don't even have to get fancy and pick submission just in case she does like what she's seeing on the feet and hit a knockout. She's plus 210 to get the finish. I think that's a good number on her there to get started with a big parlay. And then I'm going to follow that up with Grant Dawson wins by decision. While I do think he's a grinder and has finished a lot of fights and, you know, he got the rear naked choke in his three of his last four victories. I just don't see him subbing Ismagulov. I can see him turning it into a grind and winning this fight, but if he wins, it's going to be probably by decision, in my opinion. And that's plus 265, which I think is kind of a sleepy good play. So you put those two together, you're going to get 1031.
Both those are solid plays in my eyes. Not that you need my validation, but I like them both as well. So, all right, that is it. We've wrapped up our UFC on ESPN Strickland versus Magomedov coverage. Any breaking news, last minute stuff will be in our Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. In the fights channel on there is where we talk fights. Imagine that. Twitter, we're at SGPNMMA and at Gumby Vreeland and at Jeff Fox Writer. You get all my MMA writing in your inbox and enter my free pick'em contest over at moneymma.substack.com. You can get Gumby in your ears minus me on his Top Turtle podcast. That should be in your feeds or in your podcast catcher currently. So make sure you subscribe and download all those episodes. And for all your sports gambling needs, go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com. We'll be back on Sunday to count all our money that we won this weekend. Right?
That's right.
Say goodbye to the people.
All right, I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's the Violence Queen, Jeff Fox, and we will see you on Sunday.